Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Psalms, Psalm 139, beginning at verse 1. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life you recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. O God, if only you would destroy the wicked. Get out of my life, you murderers. They blaspheme you. Your enemies misuse your name. O Lord, shouldn't I hate those who hate you? Shouldn't I despise those who oppose you? Yes, I hate them with total hatred, for your enemies are my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Verses 1 through 14, all of Psalm 139. Lord, thank you for the beauty and the power and the wisdom and the grace of your word. And thank you for the ways that your word teaches us truth and teaches about what's right, what's wrong, what honors you and what doesn't honor you, and teaches us how and the way things really are in this world. It teaches us about true science and just all of your wonderful creation. Father, more and more, anoint us afresh with the spirit of grace that we would be diligent students of your word, believers who read and meditate in your word, believe your word, and live by its counsel and wisdom faithfully each and every day. We thank you. And we praise you in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for being a present and personal God. Father, thank you so much that we have this opportunity to choose to love you, that we have trials that we can face, that we have temptations that we can face, and that we can choose to love you over those. And Father, thank you so much for Jesus and for how he chose us first. Father, thank you so much that you don't only tell us to do better, you don't only tell us to grow, to pursue holy things, but Father, you've shown us how, and you strengthen us, and you empower us, and you teach us how. So thank you so much, Father, for being such a good teacher, such a good friend, such a good father, and such a good God. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. This week is our week that we're partnering with a great ministry called Preborn. And so this is our Preborn 2025 campaign here at American Family Radio. And We want to encourage you to partner with us as we partner with the Ministry of Preborn in helping to cover the costs of ultrasounds. Sadly, abortion has continued to be the leading cause of death in the U.S. and in the world. Over 66 million babies' lives have been tragically taken since Roe v. Wade was passed in 1973. And sadly, with the abortion pill accounting for over 60% of all abortions, babies' lives are at an even greater risk today. In the midst of this awful tragedy, there are things that you and I can do. Preborn and American Family Radio are asking you to partner with us to help moms to choose life and help save over 4,500 babies this week. Well, what is Preborn Ministry, you may ask? Well, Preborn is a ministry that works directly against the tragedy of the abortion industry in our culture, and it is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the U.S. And one important truth to be mindful of is that by letting a woman see her baby on ultrasound and hear the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life is literally doubled. Since 2007, the Ministry of Preborn has partnered with pregnancy clinics in the highest abortion cities and regions across our nation, providing life-saving ultrasounds. And your sponsorship, you're helping us with this important campaign, helps provide mothers who choose life with maternity and baby clothes, diapers, car seats, counseling, and much more. All of these services are provided free of charge up to 2 years, also up to 2 years of assistance. Over the past 18 years, Preborn partner clinics have counseled over 500,000 women who were considering abortion. More than 300,000 babies' lives have been saved, and more than 80,000 women have surrendered their lives to Christ. Praise God just for those wonderful and encouraging statistics as well. The Ministry of Preborn not only rescues babies, but mothers as well, through the life-changing truth of the gospel. And when you lead a mom to Christ, you're leading generations to Christ for years to come as well. Well, here's what we're encouraging you to prayerfully consider doing. You can help to be a hero of every preborn baby in this nation, and you can also be an ambassador for eternal life for every mom, dad, and family that walks into every preborn partner clinic. Your gift of $28 provides one woman seeking an abortion a free ultrasound, giving the mom the opportunity to choose life for her baby. $140 provides five free ultrasounds, reaching five women with the message of life. And perhaps you could prayerfully consider sponsoring five ultrasounds. Our goal is to help save at least 4,500 babies. Please consider a gift of any size, and it makes quite a difference. And again, keep in mind, we do appreciate every single listener that chooses to contribute in any capacity. To get involved, call this number, 1-877-616-2396. Again, that's 1-877-616-2396 to help provide one or more free ultrasounds for a mom who is abortion-minded. Or you can go online to donate. You can go to AFR.net. Again, that's AFR.net. We hope that you will get involved with supporting the great work of the Ministry of Preborn. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. I want to briefly take time to share an article before we get into reading through the Word. The article is entitled, The Bible, The Autobiography of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And then John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Again, John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. Psalm 119, verse 105 tells us, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The Bible is the book of all books. It's the only book in the world authored by God. He used around 40 or so secretaries or scribes to write it, but it is his book. The Bible is many things. Amongst other things, it's an autobiography. It's a book by God about himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Everything in God's Word points to him. From Genesis to Revelation, it all points the world to him, the God who is love, the God who is almighty, the creator of the universe, the God who is King of kings and Lord of lords. God's Word is the best-selling book in all the world by far. It's the best-selling book every year, and it's the most read book in the entire world. It seems that the one book in the world authored by the creator of the universe, a book by him, about him, should be the bestseller in the world. Now, how is the Bible an autobiography? Consider the following truths. God is the Father, Jehovah. He is the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is also the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God. See John chapter 1, verse 1. Every word in the Word of God is Jesus, and he is found in every word in the Word of God. You find Christ in every book of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. Christ is in every book. Each book is the mind of Christ, the counsel of Christ, the wisdom of Christ, and the heart of Christ. So the whole Bible is about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father are one, John chapter 10, verse 30. Consider the following. Genesis is the first book in the Bible. God introduces himself in the book of Genesis. Genesis is 50 chapters. It contains four key events: creation, the fall, the flood, and the scattering of nations. It also tells us about four key characters in Genesis: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Early in Genesis, we learn that God calls his people to trust him, to live by faith in him and in his word. This message continues throughout the rest of the Bible in the other 65 books. The just shall live by faith. When men and women trust and obey God, they are blessed as a result. When they disobey him and choose not to trust him, they always lose. What then is faith? Faith is trusting and believing God and his word. And from Genesis to Revelation, God rewards those who trust him and his word. And he judges those who choose not to trust him. So the Bible is truly the autobiography of God. In it, we come to know God, his wisdom, and his ways and character. Wise people will come to know Christ and become diligent, faithful students of his word. Today is a good day to start the journey into his word. That is the journey to get to know God and him, your Heavenly Father. Now, allow me to share 11 excellent reasons to read the Word of God every day. Number one, it tells you genuinely how to be saved and how to grow up in your faith. See John 3:16, Psalm 119, verse 105, Romans 12, 1 and 2, and Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Next, it gives you clear guidance and direction for much of your life. See Psalm 119, verse 105. Next, it empowers your prayer life. See Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Next, it sharpens your ability to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit more and more clearly. See 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. Next, it ministers to your mind, body, and spirit. See Proverbs 4, 20 to 22. Next, it helps you to maintain your mental health. See Proverbs chapter 4. Then it increases the anointing in every area of your life. See 1 Corinthians 1, 5. It increases your wisdom in every area of life. See Proverbs 1 to 4. It enhances your intellect and your personality. It can literally increase your IQ. See 1 Corinthians 1, 5. It pours grace, peace, joy into your spirit, your mind, and your life. See 2 Corinthians 1, 2, and 1 Timothy 1, 2, and 2 Timothy 1, 2. In direct statement or in principle, God's Word gives you guidance and or direction about every issue or topic in life. See Psalm 119, verse 10. Again, the title of the article, The Bible, the Autobiography of God. We'll be right back. As the daylight breaks, you're lighting up my way. My soul awakes to give. Trust in you, I will keep praising you through the night. Music from Planet Shakers, the song Only Way, a reminder that Jesus Christ is the only way to eternal life and the only way for eternal salvation, receiving him as your Lord and Savior. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We want to continue to remind you that we are in our week of partnering with the national ministry Preborn in our 2025 campaign where American Family Radio partners with the ministry of Preborn. Again, keep in mind, Preborn is a ministry that's working directly against the tragic abortion industry in our culture. And every single listener can get involved in helping to support the work of Preborn and help to provide free ultrasounds, which are wonderful, powerful tools that help to save the lives of many, many babies by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're encouraging you to consider giving a gift of $28, which provides one woman seeking an abortion with a free ultrasound, giving the mom the opportunity to choose life for her baby. $140 provides five free ultrasound sessions for five women with a message of life, or any other figure you feel impressed the Lord to give. Perhaps you could sponsor five or more. Our goal is to help save at least 4,500 babies. Please consider a gift of any size. Again, to get involved, you can call this number, 1-877-616-2396. Again, that's 1-877-616-2396. Or you can donate online at AFR.net. Again, that's AFR.net. We do hope that you will get involved. We now pick up in the Old Testament, reading through the Word of God, picking up in 2 Chronicles chapter 31, beginning at verse 1. When the festival ended, the Israelites who attended went to all the towns of Judah, Benjamin, Ephraim, and Manasseh, and they smashed all the sacred pillars, cut down the Asherah poles, and removed the pagan shrines and altars. After this, the Israelites returned to their own towns and homes. Hezekiah then organized the priests and Levites into divisions to offer the burnt offerings and peace offerings, and to worship and give thanks and praise to the Lord at the gates of the temple. The king also made a personal contribution of animals for the daily morning and evening burnt offerings, the weekly Sabbath festivals, the monthly new moon festivals, and the annual festivals as prescribed in the law of the Lord. In addition, he required the people in Jerusalem to bring a portion of their goods to the priests and Levites so they could devote themselves fully to the law of the Lord. When the people of Israel heard these requirements, they responded generously by bringing the first share of their grain, new wine, olive oil, honey, and all the produce of their fields. They brought a large quantity, a tithe of all they produced. The people who had moved to Judah from Israel and the people of Judah themselves brought in the tithes of their cattle, sheep and goats, and a tithe of the things that had been dedicated to the Lord their God, and they piled them up in great heaps. They began piling them up in late spring, and the heaps continued to grow until early autumn. When Hezekiah and his officials came and saw these huge piles, they thanked the Lord and his people Israel. "Where did all this come from?" Hezekiah asked the priests and Levites. And Azariah, the high priest from the family of Zadok, replied, "Since the people began bringing their gifts to the Lord's temple, we have had enough to eat and plenty to spare. The Lord has blessed his people, and all this is left over." Hezekiah ordered that storerooms be prepared in the temple of the Lord. When this was done, the people faithfully brought all the gifts, tithes, and other items dedicated for use in the temple. Conaniah the Levite was put in charge, assisted by his brother Shimei. The supervisors under them were Jehiel, Azaziah, Nahath, Asahel, Jeremoth, Jozabad, Eliel, Ismachiah, Mahath, and Benaiah. These appointments were made by King Hezekiah and Azariah, the chief officials in the temple of God. Kore, son of Imnah, the Levite, who was the gatekeeper at the east gate, was put in charge of distributing the voluntary offerings given to God, the gifts and the things that had been dedicated to the Lord. His faithful assistants were Eden, Miniamin, Jeshua, Shemaiah, Amariah, Shechaniah. They distributed the gifts among the families of priests in their towns by their divisions, dividing the gifts fairly among old and young alike. They distributed the gifts to all males 3 years old or older, regardless of their place in the genealogical records. The distribution went to all who would come to the Lord's temple to perform their duty, to perform their daily duties according to their divisions. They distributed gifts to the priests who were listed by their families in the genealogical records, and to the Levites 20 years old or older who were listed according to their jobs and their divisions. Food allotments were also given to the families of all those listed in the genealogical records, including their little babies, wives, sons, and daughters, for they had all been faithful to purify themselves. As for the priests, the descendants of Aaron, who were living in the open villages around the town, men were appointed by name to distribute portions to every male among the priests and to all the Levites listed in the genealogical records. In this way, King Hezekiah handled the distribution throughout all Judah, doing what was pleasing and good in the sight of the Lord his God. In all that he did in the service of the temple of God, and in his efforts to follow God's laws and commands, Hezekiah sought his God wholeheartedly. As a result, he was very successful. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. After Hezekiah had faithfully carried out this work, King Sennacherib of Assyria invaded Judah. He laid siege to the fortified towns, giving orders for his army to break through their walls. When Hezekiah realized that Sennacherib also intended to attack Jerusalem, he consulted with his officials and military advisors, and they decided to stop the flow of the springs outside the city. They organized a huge work crew to stop the flow of the springs, cutting off the brook that ran through the fields. For they said, "Why should the kings of Assyria come here and find plenty of water?" Then Hezekiah worked hard at repairing all the broken sections of the wall, erecting towers and constructing a second wall outside the first. He also reinforced the supporting terraces in the city of David and manufactured large numbers of weapons and shields. He appointed military officers over the people and assembled them before him in the square at the city gate. Then Hezekiah encouraged them by saying, "Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged because the king of Assyria or his mighty army, for there is a power far greater on our side." for there is a power far greater on our side. He may have a great army, but they are merely men. We have the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles for us." Hezekiah's words greatly encouraged the people. While King Sennacherib of Assyria was still besieging the town of Lachish, he sent his officers to Jerusalem with this message for Hezekiah and all the people in the city. This is what King Sennacherib of Assyria says. What are you trusting in that makes you think you can survive my siege of Jerusalem? Hezekiah has said, "The Lord our God will rescue us from the king of Assyria." Surely Hezekiah is misleading you, sentencing you to death by famine and thirst. Don't you realize that Hezekiah is the very person who destroyed all the Lord's shrines and altars? He commanded Judah and Jerusalem to worship only at the altar of the temple and to offer sacrifices on it alone. Surely you must realize what I and the other kings of Assyria before me have done to all the people of the earth. Were any of the gods of those nations able to rescue their people from my power? Which of their gods was able to rescue its people from the destructive power of my predecessors? What makes you think our God can rescue you? What makes you think your God can rescue you from me? Don't let Hezekiah deceive you. Don't let him fool you like this. I say it again, no God of any nation or kingdom has ever been able to rescue his people from me or my ancestors. How much more will your God rescue you from my power? And Sennacherib's officers further mocked the Lord God and his servant Hezekiah, heaping insult upon insult. The king also sent letters scorning the Lord, the God of Israel. He wrote, "Just as the gods of all the other nations failed to rescue their people from my power, so the God of Hezekiah will also fail." The Assyrian officials who brought the letters shouted this in Hebrew to the people gathered on the walls of the city, trying to terrify them so it would be easier to capture the city. These officers talked about the God of Jerusalem as though he were one of the pagan gods made by human hands. Then King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, cried out in prayers to God in heaven. And the Lord sent an angel who destroyed the Assyrian army with all its commanders and officers. So Sennacherib was forced to return home in disgrace to his own land. And when he entered the temple of his God, some of his own sons killed him there with a sword. That is how the Lord rescued Hezekiah and the people of Jerusalem from King Sennacherib of Assyria and from all the others who threatened them. So there was peace throughout the land. From then on, King Hezekiah became highly respected among the surrounding nations, and many gifts for the Lord arrived at Jerusalem with value presents for King Hezekiah too. About that time, Hezekiah became deathly ill. He prayed to the Lord, who healed him and gave him a miraculous sign. But Hezekiah did not respond appropriately to the kindness shown him, and he became proud. So the Lord's anger came against him and against Judah and Jerusalem. Then Hezekiah humbled himself and repented of his pride, as did the people of Jerusalem. So the Lord's anger did not fall on them during Hezekiah's lifetime. Verses 1 through 26, 2 Chronicles chapter 32. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're reading through the Word of God. We'll be back.
Do it all you can do. With one word, the mountains move. When you breathe, the dead arise, and the bones come back to life. There is power in this room. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's life. Tears down walls, and every enemy will fall. So we will stand and we will fight, that every wrong would be made right. There is power in this room. Oh, I believe where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's life.
Music from Life Church with Where the Spirit of the Lord Is. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We are in the midst of our week of where we here at American Family Radio are partnering with the ministry Preborn and inviting you to be a part of the work of helping to finance free ultrasounds for women, which is a wonderful means whereby the Lord often will encourage an abortion-minded individual to change her mind to choose to keep her baby. Again, since 2007, Preborn has partnered with pregnancy clinics in the highest abortion cities and regions across the nation, providing life-saving ultrasounds. And your sponsorship provides mothers who choose life with maternity and baby clothes, diapers, car seats, counseling, and much more. All of these services are provided free of charge up to 2 years of assistance. But also, this particular campaign is where we're inviting people to help specifically to help pay for free ultrasounds. If you want to get involved, you can call in, and your gift of $28 provides one woman seeking an abortion a free ultrasound. $140 provides five free ultrasound sessions, reaching five women with a message of life. And our goal is to help save at least 4,500 babies. To get involved, call this number 1-877-616-2396. Again, that's 1-877-616-2396. Or you can go online to donate to AFR.net. Again, that's AFR.net. Again, we hope that you will choose to get involved. We pick up now reading in the New Testament in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5, picking up at verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand, where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. So if you ignore the least commandment and teach others to do the same, you will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who obeys God's laws and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. But I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that our ancestors were told, you must not murder. If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. But I say, if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you are in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you are in danger of the fires of hell. So, if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. When you are on the way to court with your adversary, settle your differences quickly. Otherwise, your accuser may hand you over to the judge, who will hand you over to an officer, and you will be thrown into prison. And if that happens, you surely won't be free again until you have paid the last penny. You have heard the commandments that say, you must not commit adultery. But I say, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So if your eye, even your good eye, causes you to lust, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your hand, even your stronger hand, causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. You've heard the law that says a man can divorce his wife by merely having her a written notice, by merely giving her a written notice of divorce. But I say that a man who divorces his wife, unless she has been unfaithful, causes her to commit adultery, and anyone who marries a divorced woman also commits adultery. You have also heard that our ancestors were told, you must not break your vows. You must carry out the vows you make to the Lord. But I say, do not make any vows. Do not say by heaven, because heaven is God's throne. And do not say by the earth, because the earth is his footstool. And do not say by Jerusalem, for Jerusalem is the city of the great king. Do not even say, by my head. Do not even say, by my head, for you can't turn one hair white or black. Just say a simple, yes, I will, or no, I won't. Anything beyond this is from the evil one. You have heard the law that says the punishment must match the injury. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say, do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. If you are sued in court and your shirt is taken from you, give your coat too. If a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it 2 miles. Give to those who ask and don't turn away from those who want to borrow. You have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. End of Matthew chapter 5. Thank you, Father, once again for your word. Thank you for the power and the grace that rests upon your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, your anointing that permeates your word. And thank you for the many ways our lives are blessed, enriched, and empowered as we simply take time to read and meditate on your word. Anoint us all afresh, Father, with the Spirit of grace that would encourage us to take time, to make time, to open your word and get into it every day. Father, more and more, help us to come to see that your word really is the most powerful weapon in the universe, and that we're wise to fill up on your word as we read and meditate on it daily, but also to speak the word of God and to pray the word of God and to stand on the word of God and to use it in other ways. Thank you again for the opportunity for us to use your word every day. Lord, I pray that you'd move upon every listener to start that habit of reading at least 3 chapters in their Bible every single day. And Father, for every parent and grandparent that's listening, Lord, help us to be wiser as parents, to help start the spiritual habit in our home of having our children to read your word out loud to us every single day. Father, more and more, help us to understand that this is a great battle strategy and a great way to help us become winners in our families and our homes as we take time to get into your word individually, but also as families as well. Father, more and more, open our eyes to see how powerful, how blessed your wonderful word is. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. I want to remind you once again, we are in the midst of our Preborn campaign this week. And if you'd like to get involved, remember, Preborn is a ministry that's partnering with American Family Radio to help provide free ultrasounds for women to thus encourage them to choose life for their babies and for their families as well. To call in and make a pledge, call 1-877-616-2396, or you can go online to donate at AFR.net. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, today is a great day to make that step. Would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with us even now to commit your life to Christ? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to seek you in prayer daily. Help me to obey what I learned from your word. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and gave your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We want to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please let us know if you've given your life to Christ. Again, that email to get that resource materials again, joseph@afr.net. We hope that you will get involved. And once again, if you'd like to get involved with supporting the campaign of Preborn and helping to provide free ultrasounds to help save babies in our culture, the number to call is 1-877-616-2396. Or you can go online to donate at afr.net. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.